Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
All right, I'm already thrown off.
We're having a few technical difficulties back there behind the glass.
Yeah.
Probably because Millennial Ben lost his cool yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Started throwing shade our way until all of a sudden you brought in McDonald's and then all things were right. Go ahead, let this breathe.
At least we have this. Before we go any further, This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. It's the first time I've ever done it at 6 o'clock.
I normally
do it at 8.
The way it rolled off your tongue was impressive. Are you okay? I mean, I didn't know if you were going to make it in today based on yesterday's extravaganza on Twitter with, you are just getting ganged up on. You would think I would have come to your rescue.
Eh.
But I didn't, because I was just like, wow, I do not want to get in the middle of that meeting of the Mensa Minds.
You were like Cam Newton looking at that fumble.
Yeah, I was.
Ooh.
I was just shining a light going, ooh, looks very aggressive down there. His lantern holding yesterday as you and D-Mac and Tyler and Richie jumped in.
Richie jumped in.
Everybody was ganging up on Mike.
It started with Millennial Ben. Started with Ben.
I know.
Ben coming after me.
I know.
And then it's just like an avalanche rolling downhill. It is and isn't just me Friday, where of course we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest heading off into this weekend. Hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. It could be about anything and everything. But is it just me, or did the desperation of Broncos country when it comes to the quarterback situation, did it come just surging to the surface? Holy smokes. The whole Deshaun Watson conversation, which was hilarious because all that energy was expended for something that has that maybe a 1.5% chance of happening.
Right.
But it went on all day. All the shows talked about it. You're welcome. And, but it just revealed the lengths that people are willing to go to when it comes to finding a quarterback, any quarterback. I mean, I had people who I consider logical thinking people who were saying, oh yeah, I'd give up six first round picks for him. No questions asked. I'm like, wow. Wow. The level of desperation. Wow. That was probably the biggest thing I took from the whole exercise yesterday.
Well, there is a level of desperation, and Deshaun Watson certainly, is an outstanding young player at 25 and in my mind, a franchise quarterback. Again, it comes down to what you're willing to part with to get Deshaun Watson, and the fact that you're probably on the lower rung of the ladder of teams that he would like to go to. So there are several different things that would probably limit your ability to get, because remember, ultimately, and we had Adam Schefter on yesterday, ultimately, he gets to choose. They get to say, he can say, this is our best offer and it's from Denver and it's 5 first rounders. He can say, yeah, I ain't going to Denver. Get me to Atlanta. Give me to Carolina. Give me down south somewhere that I want to be. Give me to the Jets. Let me go run New York. Let me go and be in charge of that mecca. So I just like it just is it, like that's it is a pipe dream, but it does go to show you how desperate we have become for a quarterback. And the other thing it shows you, Mike, is how delusional we are as a franchise, as a fandom of, because we look at this football team as though the Deshaun Watson, who completed 70% of his passes and over 4,000 yards and had, you know, close to 40 TDs versus 7 interceptions, automatically takes us to the playoffs when he took Houston to a 4-12 record. Like, we are delusional. We have been sold a bill of faulty goods that our team is so freaking close to being competitive if we just had a trigger man. So there's two things really that are, you know, going down parallel tracks here. It's we don't have a quarterback. You're right. You're right. We watched Trevor Siemian and Joe Flacco and Case Keenum and Paxton Lynch and Brandon Allen, the gamer, and Rippin, and like, yes, yeah, and what was the other? Don't we have an O'Driscoll? I mean, yeah, I get it. We started the kid that was a quarterback from Wake Forest that turned into a wide receiver who came back to play quarterback, who, like, whatever, that kid's not kidding. I called the game, I can't even remember.
Hinton.
Yeah, Hinton. I get it. We're desperate for a quarterback. But I am, you know, I try to be the voice of reason. You guys don't want to hear it. There's a lot more that needs to be fixed on this team than said quarterback position.
I think the other big takeaway was how little people think of the draft and the idea of team building or the importance of team building.
Uh-huh.
And it was funny because it was left to me, ironically, to sort of defend the idea of the draft. Because I, for years, have been angering people like Cecil Lammy, who we'll talk to at 6:45, you know, about the crapshoot nature of the draft.
Right.
And it is a crapshoot. But the best teams in the NFL are better at the crapshoot than others.
Yes.
And the fact that people are so casually saying, yeah, I'll give up 3, 4, 5, 6 first-round picks. Yeah, look what we've done with first-round picks. Well, you're right. We've been terrible with first-round picks around here.
Right.
And that's cause and effect. I mean, there's a reason why the Broncos are 28-48 in their last 76 games. A huge, huge part of it is because of how bad they've been with first-round picks. So how about we start doing better with first-round picks, and then maybe people will take a look at those first-round picks and start to value them a little bit more than they did yesterday. They were like, I mean, it truly was like, first round picks, been there, done that. Who needs them? Just whatever it takes. Give them all. Give them 10. Who cares?
By the way, how did it work in New Orleans all those years ago when Mike Ditka was the head coach and he traded his whole draft away to get Ricky Williams?
Yeah, that didn't go
well. How many championships did they win with that one?
Well, how about Minnesota? I think the last time a trade went down in the NFL involving 3 first round picks was for Herschel Walker. Who benefited from that trade?
Yeah.
Not the Vikings, who traded for Herschel Walker.
Cowboys went on to win 3 world championships.
Cowboys used all those picks to build the nucleus of a team that, in my humble opinion, is still the greatest football team I've ever seen. Those Cowboys of the early 90s. I mean, had the salary cap not come along, I think that team wins 6, 7 Super Bowls. I mean, they had everything. Oh. Everything.
They were ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Offensively, I mean, they were a really good defense.
Yeah. Dude,
don't get me wrong. They were a really good defense. But offensively, it was just like, dude, nobody matched up against them. Nobody. It was amazing. Gosh.
And the seeds of all that was born out of the Herschel Walker trade.
Yeah.
And all those picks I got.
Yeah.
All right. We are off and rolling. Want to hear from you. And is it just me a Friday? 303-713-1043. We'll jump into that next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
And is it just me Friday? As we give you a chance to get stuff off your chest, hot sports takes going into the weekend. By the way, is it just me? Or is it just kind of like weird how all of our music heroes are just getting older and older and older?
I know.
Do you know whose birthday it is today?
I do.
Steve Perry. Journey.
Yeah.
72.
Don't stop believing, people.
I mean, you want to talk about, like, soundtrack of your youth.
Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
I took a picture with Steve Perry a couple years ago.
Did he talk about your big shoulders?
No. He's a tiny little guy.
Yeah, another tiny guy, huh?
Tiny guy.
They're all tiny.
But he was awesome. I was like, hey, man, soundtrack of my youth. Really appreciate you. Hey, thanks, buddy. You know, we just talked. And then I was just like, hey, can I take a picture? And he's like, oh, look at me. It's morning. We're in a breakfast restaurant. He goes, oh, come on. Look at me. I'm in a sweatshirt. I look awful, you know. Okay, totally understand. Okay, screw it. Let's take a picture right here. I got a picture with me and Steve Perry and my wife. And it was great, man. He was super gracious. Really cool. And I tell you what, you want to talk about a dude with some pipes.
Yeah.
This dude could sing now. They used to play this song, by the way, when my son was pitching in Detroit.
That was his song?
This
like his walk-up song?
No. In the seventh inning in Detroit, they would always play.
Oh, this was the seventh
just
inning
the
song?
Small okay. Town. Yeah, they come in, just a small town boy, born and raised in South Detroit. Everybody sing that.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, man. Pretty cool in America. Come on.
Yeah.
72.
72.
Damn. Don't you go dying on me. Am I right?
That's right. That's right.
All right.
Okay. Is it just me or are you expecting a Justin Simmons long-term deal announcement here very soon?
Oh, are you?
I am.
Are you really?
I really am. After listening to George Payton talk, in both his press conference and on with the drive, the only time he really seemed to break from character, which was very buttoned down, very reserved, you know, not really trying to be, you know, he was the antithesis of Dan Campbell. Wow, what a show that was yesterday,
huh? Dan.
Man. But the one time he did kind of reveal, you know, his true nature was when he was talking about Justin Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
And he was effusive in talking about Justin Simmons. So,
well, I loved the aspect of what he said about Justin Simmons in that he said, we're going to do everything in our power to keep our good young players. I've been a fan from afar. You know, I've admired his work from afar. Now I will say this, like, where does that number come in, Mike? Because if Justin Simmons is still thinking that I need to be the highest paid safety, like, I would disagree with that.
Why?
Because when you watch the Broncos play defense, and I'm not saying that he can't be this, but just understand what I'm saying. The highest paid safeties affect all three levels of the defense. They are guys that trigger in the run game, that meet people at the line of scrimmage. They are guys that are heavily involved in the blitz game, that come up and play in the nickel corner at times, which Justin Simmons did early in his career, his first couple of years. Justin Simmons, in this defense, he plays on the left side, and most of the time when you play on the left side, because offenses are right-handed, you know what I'm saying? So when you get into trips, you know, you got the tight end, you got the F receiver, you got the Z receiver all on the right side on trips. You get into a lot of three wide receiver sets. Teams are right-handed. They're right-handed quarterbacks. They're probably 80% of the time they're in a right-handed formation. So he's the guy that plays the deep third safety or the deep safety on that side, and especially into the boundary on that side. So Kareem Jackson's the guy that rolls down, that's playing the run on the weak side, and you're leaving that backside corner one-on-one in a lot of defenses. So, like, their rotation from a defensive standpoint is Kareem Jackson is really the guy that's going to be the blitz guy, the down in the box guy. And so those are the guys, in my mind, in the NFL, when I think of safeties, those are the guys that are going to get paid. You know, those are the Jamal Adams that are going to get paid. Those are the guys that do that dirty work that are going to get paid. And Justin Simmons, and I'm not saying that he can't do it. I'm just saying that he doesn't get the opportunities to do it in this defense.
Okay, so there's a clear delineation if you're looking at where Simmons is at and the neighborhood he's trying to get into. Right now, he's the seventh highest paid safety in football.
Okay.
Makes about $11.5 million.
All right.
The top five safeties are all in that 14 to 14 and a half range.
Mm-hmm.
Buda Baker, Eddie Jackson, Kevin Byard.
Byard, yeah.
Byard for the Titans, Tennessee. Tyrann Mathieu for the Chiefs, Landon Collins from Washington. Mm-hmm. They're all 14, 14 and a half. And then you have the next group, which is all in the 11 to the 11 and a half million, mm-hmm. which includes Simmons. So, it's a very simple question. Does Simmons belong in the 14 million club with those guys I mentioned? Baker, Jackson, Byard, Mathieu, Collins.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys in there. Like Collins isn't the same player, but he got rewarded for being that guy. But again, I would tell you, I would say no, because he's not that all three levels down the line of scrimmage. And I love Justin. I mean, I absolutely love Justin, what he's done here, all the different things that he's done. And maybe there needs to be another tier.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Welcome Justin Simmons. You create the
12.5
club.
Tier.
Yeah.
And again, like I said, I'm not saying that he can't do it. He's just not asked to do it very often. And so, and would he like to? I've talked to him. I mean, Mike, I had a conversation like I'm having a conversation with you. Would he like to be in? Yes, because he knows that's how he's going to get paid, right? He knows that I've got to but he's not being asked to do that, and he's unselfish in his approach to the game. He's a great community leader. He's a guy that you need to sign long-term. It's just hard to sign a guy that is not down, like down in the box, being disruptive as a safety. The Buda Bakers of the world, the Tyrann Mathieus of the world, you know, those are the guys that get down there, the Jamal Adams of the world. Those are the guys that get down there and disrupt. Yeah, they may not, hey, listen, maybe they don't have the coverage skills that Justin Simmons has. But I tell you what, every time, like Pete Carroll told me about Jamal, yeah, you know what? We'll put up with some of the coverage breakdowns he has. Because for every one of those, he makes three plays in the opponent's backfield that are difference makers for us. So those are the guys that get paid. And
yeah.
I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm just saying he's not given the opportunity to do it because he plays kind of a different position for Vic Fangio.
By the way, Jamal Adams will probably be creating that $15 million tier when he gets his new deal, which will probably be coming up here very soon.
Right.
Okay. Morning Brew coming up. We'll preview the championship games, make our fearless predictions there. We'll pay tribute to Gary Kubiak, and we'll introduce you to the newest can't-miss star for the Colorado Avalanche. Get ready. We're fixing to find out. Morning Brew next.
Good morning!
Morning!
It's time for your Morning Brew.
Things are gonna get weird.
You're gonna keep lightning, and you're gonna crack thunder!
Okay, this guy needs coffee and coolers. Stat!
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange mocha frappuccino!
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet.
Let's get it on!
As the 5-year anniversary of Super Bowl 50 approaches, the man who pulled all the right strings that season is once again calling it a career.
I want you to think about it. What we can be when it's all said and done.
Gary Kubiak announced his retirement on Thursday after spending two seasons with the Minnesota Vikings. The 59-year-old coach previously retired in 2017 after two seasons leading the Broncos.
Gary Kubiak. Thanks to Broncos.com for putting that together. Gary Kubiak retiring again. Is this for...
We're fixing
to
find out.
Is this for it? Is this good? Is this the last time we see him? Or, you know...
Absolutely.
Is his retirement like, you know, Brett Favre? Or the Rolling Stones? I mean, right. You know, is he going to keep coming back?
Yeah, you know, I think that Gary Kubiak... Gary Kubiak's the ultimate football guy. It may be, he may be done, Mike, from a coaching standpoint, but I wouldn't be surprised. I think Gary Kubiak loves the scouting aspect of it, loves the, like, I think he likes that part of it. I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, be a part of somebody's front office and just continue to keep his, you know, scratch that football itch, so to speak. That wouldn't surprise me.
You know where some of the bodies are buried. You know some of the skeletons in the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Just how much credit does Gary deserve for navigating the Broncos through that entire Super Bowl season?
Oh, shoot. I thought he should have been Coach of the Year. I thought he should have been NFL Coach of the Year. I think that was such a difficult task because of, you know, Peyton Manning, his injury, his inability to throw the ball, all the things that were going on.
A lot of personalities on that team.
Yeah, and then you know, I mean, Brock and making the decision finally to sit that. Brock, wasn't like Brock was playing poorly.
No. Nope.
Brock was playing pretty good. But just having the wherewithal and the understanding that, hey, man, if we're going to go deep in this thing, I just need that leadership. I need a guy to get us in the right play. Not necessarily to make the big throw, but just to get us in the right play. And I trust Peyton to do that. I think it was a masterful job of coaching.
Ah, Brock.
Ball security is job security.
Next on the Morning Brew.
We're preparing for it, but until you're in that moment, you're not really sure what to expect. And I've never played in Arrowhead, but everybody tells me the fans are right on top of it, and it's going to get extremely loud with 17,000 people. You know, they're extremely energetic fan base. Again, when they get things wrong, it gets super loud in there. So, you know, we're practicing for it, but until we get in the game, we won't know.
All right, championship Sunday coming up. Let's start in the AFC, Bills and Chiefs. Expect Patrick Mahomes to play. What do you think?
Showtime!
I still think it's the Chiefs. I think Patrick Mahomes will be fine. I don't think the concussion protocol thing is going to be an issue for him. I think the foot's a bigger issue than the concussion protocol. But, you know, they're just so talented. And like I've told you before, I don't believe in your ability to flip the switch. I don't think that's a real thing. Except when it comes to the Chiefs, they have the ability to just turn it on. And I think they're a lot better defensively than people give them credit for. So I'm going with the Chiefs.
Is that?
I mean, it's because of this team and like how much heart and determination that we have.
Phenomena. You know what? They flipped the switch simply because of the guy playing quarterback, right? The right call, Ben.
Although, you know, it's interesting. These two teams did play during the regular season, and in that game, the Chiefs won 26-17, but they did it running the football.
Yeah.
They ran it 46 times, only 26 passes. Mahomes was a very quiet 21 of 26 for 225 and two touchdowns. But in that game, Clyde Edwards-Helaire ran 26 times for 161 yards.
I'd like to know what happened on those five incompletions. Like, what's wrong with Mahomes? Five whole incompletions? Come on.
Washed up. Flash in the pan. Next. Mm-hmm. Next on the Morning Brew.
I think everyone understands the significance. It's very difficult to get to this point to be, 4 of 32. So I think we're all, excited for it, but certainly understand we have a lot of prep to go. We're going to take every minute up to kickoff to get ready to go.
Tom.
I love Tom Brady.
It's really difficult to get to the Final Four. You've done it 14 times in 19 years as a starter.
I love Tom Brady.
21 years in the NFL. Daddy. Take out his rookie year and the year that he missed the entire season with an ACL. 19 seasons playing in the NFL. He's been to the championship game now 14 times. Don't tell me how hard it is.
He's saying for everybody else how hard it is.
Mere mortals?
For mere mortals, it's extremely difficult. When you have the porcelain skin of a China doll and a great cleft in your chin, perfect hair, easy.
So who do you like in that game? Now, again, a rematch earlier in the season. Two teams played in Tampa. Bucks blew them out. Easily the worst game of the season for Aaron Rodgers, who in that game went 16 of 35 for 160 yards, two interceptions, one of which was run back.
Yeah, both of them. One was run back to about the two, and the other one was run back for the touchdown. I just can't. Of his five interceptions, two of them came in that game. I can't see that happening again. The Packers are just playing such good football right now. I'll take the. I don't like to bet against Tom, but I'm
listening to you.
I don't, Tom.
I love Tom Brady.
I mean, who do you think I'm closer with, Tom?
Or well, you say you've been friends with Aaron Rodgers for years.
For years, but
you and Tom became and I fast took, friends right, this right. year.
We took our relationship kind of to the next level.
Oh God!
With all our Zoom calls together.
Let's just move on.
That makes a stew out of me.
Next on the Morning Brew.
But I'd say obviously getting into some penalty trouble definitely gave them a chance to come back in the game. And then 5-on-3, you could argue either way. But when we invite them back in the game at least, and then obviously in the third, it's still wide open hockey game. And next goal takes a commanding lead in that game. So fortunately, they get one there with a few minutes left.
All right. So there's Gabe Landeskog following the Avs 4-2 loss to the Kings, evening up the Avs record at 2-2. But let's focus on the positive as we got our first look at yet another apparent brilliant draft pick by Joe Sakic, another can't-miss kid in defenseman Bo Byram. So you look at an Avalanche defense corps, which is, barring something completely unforeseen, is going to be the envy of the NHL for years if you can find a way to pay all these guys and keep them together. But, you know, when you start talking about Makar, Sammy Girard, Bo Byram, you know, you got a young Connor Timmins in there. Of course, the really shrewd move they made to bring in a young veteran in Devontae's. This has got the makings of being maybe the best defensive group in the NHL. I'll go along with everything else they have. That's why they're Stanley Cup favorites.
How come they're 2-2 then?
It's early. It's early.
All right.
It's early. I have far less concerns about the Avalanche than I do the Nuggets right now. Far less concerns.
Yeah, no, as do I, but I mean, come on. You're a 500 club.
I know. Still in the early, you know, kind of getting into, you know, how this, it's a weird season. They're playing the same teams all year, seven teams. You're in the same division, new divisions, just created for this year. And so you'll be playing each team in your division seven times. So, yeah, it's going to take a little while to get used to. A lot of back-to-backs against the same team. So, you know, relax.
Okay.
Hey, listen, if I'm relaxed, if I'm not worried,
okay,
you shouldn't be worried. Okay.
All right.
Take your cue from me.
Okay.
I'm not worried about the Avalanche.
I'm not worried about
the Nuggets.
I'm not worried about the Avs.
Good. Why?
Because you're not worried.
There you go. See how this works? Perfect. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. That's you each and every morning at 6:30. How does our friend Cecil Lammy feel about all of his off-season scouting events being taken away? We'll console the little fella coming up next.
Don't listen to Cecil Lammy.
Oh, no.
Don't ever cut off Cecil like that.
No, we listen to Cecil Lammy. Can we bring it down a little bit here, Benny? Can you get some almost like in memoriam type music? Like some.
Like a dirge.
Like a
right?
dirge, you know, like. No.
We need
something somber.
Sober.
Something, yeah, very. There you go. Yeah, all right, yeah. We'll just go with that.
Right.
We say good morning to Cecil Lammy. Cecil, oh man, I don't know what to say, man. I mean, this is your time of the year. This is your time to shine. This is it for you. And all your favorite off-season scouting events are just being taken away. How you holding up?
I'm holding up okay. The combine is always a fun trip to Indianapolis, and I do have the Senior Bowl next week. I will be in Mobile, Alabama, although, you know, it's just for practice, basically. There's no in-person player interviews, but there's Zoom interviews, all those sorts of things. So I got one thing. I'm supposed to be in Tampa right now at the Shrine game, but that was canceled as well. So one event, the Senior Bowl, and then this offseason will be much different. People say, oh, it's just like last year. No, last year there were pro days. I was at CU's pro day in Boulder when the email came around almost all at once. You had all the students looking like, oh, by the way, classes, everything's canceled from here on out. That was like the final pro day event in the NFL. It was right up the road at Boulder. So it's different from last year. Last year you had the combine, you had the Shrine, the Senior, all that kind of stuff. And you had some pro days early on in March. This year, you're hardly going to get anything. So at least we've got the Senior Bowl. And yes, I am dealing. I am coping.
One of the things I think that is a plus, if you choose to actually look at the silver lining of this, is that people like yourself who study a lot of film, you know, I think that to me is better than getting enamored by workouts at the combine. You know, I think this has an opportunity for the really good evaluators, and hopefully that's George Payton, for the really good evaluators to actually evaluate football as opposed to athleticism.
Yes, and the thing I love about George Payton, he's not going to shy away from the dirty work. He said that in his opening press conference, right? And he loves the grind. He is a very thorough person. He is a guy that takes his time, makes emotions without decisions. And one thing you're going to have to do is rely on your contacts within the buildings. And that's why this college football season was weird, because you didn't have road scouts out everywhere talking to janitors, talking to secretaries, talking to athletic equipment guys, talking to everybody about these prospects. But it's going to be strictly based on what you see on film, and that should be 95% of your grade anyway. So I think it will be a change in terms of, let's say, like a Baker Mayfield or a Carson Wentz, right? They entered the Senior Bowl years ago when they came out thought of as late first round picks. They catapulted all the way up to number one or number two accordingly. Now, this year it's going to be different, and you're not going to see those type of fast risers, both for good with Baker and also for whatever's going on with Carson Wentz. So I really like that, Stink. I like that it's going to be about, okay, you have deep-seated contacts within buildings across countries with your scouts. You're going to have to lean on that. And you're also going to have to lean on the film, and that's the most important thing. The workouts, all this stuff, it's just fluff. That's what it is. Now, it's exciting fluff. It's fluff we talk about for, you know, 3 months out of the year. But at the end of the day, it's what they do when they actually play football that matters the most.
Cecil, as somebody who absolutely loves the draft, loves the idea of evaluating prospects, loves the value of draft picks, mm-hmm. gets very upset when people like me call it a crapshoot. How do you feel about what was an overwhelming message sent by Broncos country and by most of the of our brothers here on the Fan, not even batting an eye at the idea of sending 3, 4, in some cases 5 first round picks for Deshaun Watson?
No, that's the type of player that he is, right? The 5 is a little bit ridiculous, I'll say that. But if you sent a couple of first-rounders and a player, or even maybe 3 first-rounders, I wouldn't necessarily be against that, because are you going to hit with that franchise-level quarterback? Let's be honest, guys. The AFC, now let me talk about the NFC. In the AFC, you're going to get at least Trevor Lawrence here, right? Maybe Justin Fields, although it seems like the Jets are leaning more towards keeping Sam Darnold. But just in this conference, everyone is lapping you. And what the Broncos are trying to do, like, hey, we'll build this defense, although with Vic Fangio, the defense hasn't been good. He's a defensive guru. He's forgotten more about football than I'll ever know, but his defense hasn't been good. Building a team like that takes a lot more time, and there's a lot more chances that things go off the rails. You get a franchise quarterback, look at the issues that Peyton Manning covered up for years and years and years with the Colts, right? And then when they lose Peyton Manning, they win a couple of games with Curtis Painter, whoever it was. Well, with Deshaun Watson, he's that dude. He's that level of franchise quarterback that you can come in, you compete right now, and you can catch up to what's going on within your own division. with guys like Justin Herbert, with guys like Pat Mahomes. Mahomes already an established superstar. Herbert has the makings of a superstar. By the way, advanced data on Justin Herbert, he was pressured 230 dropbacks, number one in the league. And guess who was number one against pressure in the NFL? Justin Herbert. So, again, you want to keep running around. Hey, we got an average to below average starter, guys, but we got a really good team around him. Or do you want to get that dude and then try to, you know, put the pieces around him how best you can? That's how great Deshaun Watson is. That's why I'm not surprised people talking about throwing those draft picks at Houston.
I would ask you how far away, even with the Deshaun Watson, because remember, he's great, and I'm with you 100%. I think he's a franchise quarterback, and I have said, you know, I'd give up. Up to three first rounders for Deshaun Watson. But my question to you is, remember, Deshaun Watson went 4-12 last year in Houston. I just don't think Deshaun Watson, does he make them an 8-8 team? Yeah, right. Sure. Does he make them a playoff team right off the bat? There's still a lot of work to do to make this roster competitive in my mind. What say you?
Yes, because it's all about fit in the NFL. That's the dirty little secret. And Pat Shurmur's not a really good OC. His best years, he's been like 17th in the league or 20th in the league in terms of offense. I don't think Vic Fangio's a good head coach. Sorry, nicest guy ever. Meatballs and pasta. Hey, everybody laugh about that. I don't want a head cook. I want a head coach, and you don't have that with Vic Fangio. So, again, it's not just about, hey, we got Deshaun Watson, everybody. It's like, do you have the right people to get the most out of him? Are you set that way? Will you fit with that? I mean, we saw most of the year Pat Shurmur didn't do hardly anything that fit Drew Locke. Then when he did, Locke started playing better. Shocker. And Locke's, you know, average at best. And Stank, you talked to plenty of people around the league, and you know the opinions on Locke here may be like lukewarm. Around the league, people think he can't play. So again, let's be honest about the situation. You could get Deshaun Watson. Do you have the right coaches in place? My answer for that would be no.
All right, Cecil, you know, hang in there, okay?
I'm eating lots of barbecue, man. I'm going to gain like 10 pounds every day. I'm in Alabama.
Mobile is calling. Don't worry.
Yes.
You'll be there soon.
We'll always have Mobile.
We'll always have Mobile. Thanks, Cecil. There he goes, Cecil Lammy.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
All right. The Deshaun Watson talk is fun talk. It is revealing.
Uh-huh.
What does it reveal? We'll tell you next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.